about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Perception is not designed to give you a completely accurate view of the world around you.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, perception and affordance.
Perception is designed to give you information you need in order to be able to act on the world in some way. And so if we think about the variety of aspects of our perception, you know, we see things, we hear things, we feel things, and each of those senses is set up to give us information that will help us to act on the world. And that information is telling us both where things are and what we can do with them, but it's also giving us information about how much effort we need to put in and even how likely we are to be able to succeed at things. And one of the early psychologists who we've talked about previously on other shows who talked about this was J.J. Gibson. And Gibson pointed out that you can actually perceive not just the colors of things and the shapes of things and the sizes of things, but what are called the affordances of things. That is, what it is that something allows you to do with it. And so when I look at a chair, for example, I see it not just as a chair, but I actually see that, oh, that surface is something I could sit on. It has some sit-ableness to it.
And, nicely put.
And that matters, right? Because it means I don't have to go through some complex calculation of, gosh, I wonder if I could conform my body into a way that this would fit on. And that's why, you know, seeing a desk chair, I think, oh yeah, that's got some sittableness to it. But if I see a dollhouse chair, I don't immediately think, oh, I should sit on that because it's too small for my body. And similarly, if you're a young child, that same desk chair that I feel like I might be able to sit on, that young child looks at it and thinks, I could probably climb on that. But it's not of a size that it has sit-ableness on it for me. And so there's all sorts of aspects of the world that get built into my perception, including this notion of, do I think I can succeed at doing the thing that I'm trying to do? And this is where things get kind of interesting. So for example, do I think I could hit a particular baseball? Or if I tried to putt, you know, in golf, do I think I would be able to make the putt? And if I've practiced this skill at all, then over time, my perception of the world actually takes into account not just where things are and what I need to do, but it actually provides me with some information of, am I likely to succeed? How much effort do I need to put in? So I'll give you one example. This is some work that Dennis Prophet did looking at the slope of hills. So he'd have people judge the slope of a hill that people were going to walk up. And what he found was the more tired you are, the steeper the hill appeared to be, right? Or if you were carrying a heavy load, the hill appeared to be steeper. And you could ask, well, why? What's the point of that? And the answer is, well, because the steeper the hill is, the more that when I look at it, I think I'm going to have to be able to put in a lot of effort to get up that. And it's useful to be able to have that judgment without having to go through a kind of complex calculation. So building that in a subtle way into my perception is a very quick way of my sort of revving myself up to put in the energy to succeed at what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah. The thing that we should make really clear up front is that our perceptions are not just eyes taking photographs of the world and ears making audio recordings of the world, right? All of that stuff is processed in light of the stuff that's already in our head. And so, you know, I mean, we've all experienced this with colors. You know, you'll see some color that you think is really lovely, and then you buy some object of this color, and then you bring it into your house and put it next to some other color and think, my God, this looks terrible. It doesn't even look like the same color it did when it was in the store. I mean, those kind of things happen all the time. And, you know, for all of us who are just navigating the world, it's understandable that as we become more expert at something, if it's something as simple as an infant learning to walk, which isn't that simple actually, but it's pretty sophisticated, but, or that, or learning to be a better golfer, or learning to be a better violinist, all of those things involve changes in perception. We usually think of skill development as just changes in the motor system that allows you to execute the skill. But actually, that's only part of the change. The other part of the change, which is equally important, is changes in the perceptual system. Because if those changes don't accompany the motor change, you can't get better. And I'll talk about one experiment that came out of my group and that I think is a really interesting thing. We asked violinists of different levels of expertise, all the way from high school kids who were very good to undergraduate music majors and graduate music majors and professional violinists, to come in and practice. They practiced for 5 minutes. We recorded their practice. And we asked them to listen to their practice. And every time they heard a discrepancy between what they intended to do when they were practicing and what they actually did, we just asked them to press a computer key. And what we were looking at is, well, what's the rate of key presses for people at these different levels of experience? And here's the ooh-ah part of the experiment. The rate of key presses didn't change. As people got better, they didn't make fewer and fewer mistakes. They didn't recognize fewer and fewer discrepancies. Their perceptual system changed. And what now was a discrepancy for a professional violinist might involve a very subtle thing about how a note ends. And for a high school player, it might be, well, that, you know, I put my third finger in the wrong place, that C sharp was too high. So the actual rate of discrepancy didn't change. The perception of what constituted a discrepancy changed.
Yeah, and anyone who's ever written anything has experienced this. You write something, and then like a year later, you go back and read it. And you go, oh, that's terrible. And at the time, it didn't seem so terrible. Yeah. But the better you get at anything, the more that you notice the imperfections in something that you did before.
Next week, we'll continue our discussion of perception by talking about the psychology of building your perceptual skills with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.